Monty and Whipper.
He's been hiding in the prize cupboard, but now we've dragged him out. We've let him out. Of course, entertainer, comedian, author of A Nest of Occasionals, Tony Martin. Welcome to the show.
Welcome,
thanks,
Tony.
Guys. It's great to be here. But if you look out the window, there's a storm threatening.
Is there? Yes.
And this is a building, I'm assuming, with an aerial on the top.
Yeah.
We hope so.
Is somebody going around unplugging everything?
Well, yeah, that's true, because if a storm hits, you
this
don't
could
want
be it.
Did
lightning.
You used to, because my mum would just unplug. She'd be unplugging.
Would she if a storm was coming?
Lamps. She'd be unplugging lamps. She'd take the batteries out of the TV remote. I'm not
really?
Sure.
Really? What about if it's 8 o'clock at night?
It's weird.
You're in the dark?
Because we could all be electrocuted.
Just anything involved in electricity. It's
right.
A problem.
Tony,
just a conductor.
In your book, Annette, of occasionals. There's one part that I was reading which I could relate to because I think in the story goes there was a guy called Pooey. Was Pooey the name of the guy?
That was the school bully.
Yeah, the
yes.
school bully. And, and there's a part of the story that says that you're in the garage and there's a guy looking after and he says to you, now, Tony, do you know how to throw a punch? You know how to make a fist?
Yeah, that's right.
And you put your thumb inside your hand.
I was doing that for years. So you put your thumb inside your hand. Now that's just going
to
break if you hit someone with it.
Too.
I
did
the exact same thing because a guy was picking on me and Mum said the only way is to get him back.
Did your mum say that?
You've got to go up to him, pin him against the wall and punch him. And I went, okay, well, I'll hit him like that. And Mum went, no, you'll break your thumb if you do that.
You will break your thumb. And where is he now? That's the great thing with the school.
Yeah, nowhere.
See,
yeah.
My school bully had an unusual name, which I've changed for the book, but I typed it into Google. Now a respected orchardist in New Zealand.
Is he?
Really?
Yeah, and I'm assuming a lot of bruised fruit is what you would find.
From a violent man.
A respected, how many unrespected orchardists are there?
There's a lot of pirate orchardists out there. A lot of.
Oh, sure he's an orchardist, but we don't respect him.
Fake fruit.
Sorry,
what else has been
that.
Going on, Tone?
Here's what's been going on. I found the MX outside in your foyer.
MX, yep.
And it's got Michael Jackson's autopsy detailed, and it's full of disturbing. Most of his face was tattooed on.
His eyebrows.
His eyebrows, his hairline, his lips. He had a red sort of,
outline
around the lips. But if you, and this, I swear it says this in the MX, the last line is, the document provides detailed analysis of Jackson's organs from the size of his liver to the, quote, unremarkable nature of his scrotum.
Unremarkable?
That's what it says.
He's right. He's plastered the paper, and I can back him up. It says, unremarkable is in quotation marks. I don't
so
know what
who
that
quoted
means.
That?
I don't know.
Mama Jackson.
But I don't think you really want to be known for having a remarkable scrotum, do you?
Yeah. I mean,
is that something you want to work towards? Yeah. That man has a remarkable scrotum.
Well, I think they got the scrotum expert in because he does a lot of celebrity deaths and celebrity scrotums. So that one must have really stood out.
Bizarrely obsessed with Michael Jackson. Like, we seriously dedicated a good month of our show when Wacko died. I'm just glad that it's all over and you walk back in and bring it all back up.
I find it just as strange that it would have been like a colouring in game Michael put his makeup on because he had the outlines of the lips.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe he couldn't get out of his childhood, so that's why he did it. But he would have to, he'd obviously go around the line when he put his lips on.
Just filling in. But it doesn't say anything about, because I used to always hear that the nose was held on by magnets.
Magnets!
So like a Muppet.
That's right. Mr. Potato Head style.
Well,
fascinating.
There's no mention of magnets.
I like the idea of someone going in saying whether a scrotum's remarkable or not. It kind of reminds me of in Roman times when they would make a decision whether to kill or let someone live. The thumb up or down, not remarkable.
But what constitutes a remarkable scrotum? Big enough to hold a VCR? That would be one.
That's very, very
clever. Tone, we want you to stick around. I want to talk Rocker Steadford next.
Oh, Oliver, crack at that.
Terrific. You're on Nova. Ryan, Monty and Whipper.
Ryan, Monty and Whipper love waves.
Blair on Nova, Ryan, Monty and Whipper. Today we are making another announcement. Someone's going to win Good Vibrations Festival tickets and the chance to meet, to meet Gossip.
Yeah, you'll
meet them. You will meet them
you'll
in
meet
the flesh.
Them. Now, we've got Tony Martin here and something that I still find remarkable is the fact that you have never had and still don't have a mobile phone.
You still don't?
Down to less than 1% of the public now.
Neither does Mick Malloy, does he?
I'm not sure.
I don't think
he hasn't called me for a while to confirm it.
I don't think Mick does.
He doesn't.
But he doesn't have a mobile.
So that's remarkable. What's even more remarkable is the fact that you are on Twitter now.
I've gotten onto it and I've gone mad with it. And
you've jumped a whole generation of technology.
Well, I thought I'd just do it to plug the website. Our website is The Scrivener's Fancy. That's annoying to remember.
Yeah, it's hard to spell.
Well, it is. And because I wanted to sound like a sort of posh literary website, which it clearly isn't.
Do you want to explain what a scrivener is?
In the old days, in a village, nobody could read or write, and there'd be one bloke, the scrivener. And if you got a letter, you'd take it to the scrivener and he'd read it out to you.
Oh, wow.
And then he'd write you a letter. Who knows? He could say anything.
There you go.
That's clever.
What we've got. And so already Tony Martin was taken. There's about 17 Tony Martins on Twitter. The inexplicably popular British murderer is the most popular Tony Martin. So I thought I'd put it on as Scrivener's Fancy, but it is me.
So that website, Scrivener's Fancy, was a good website, great website. It's like articles and columns that you write every week.
Yes, it's what is it called? Lowbrow commentary and elegant surrounds is
brilliant.
Worth a visit. So you might get on and write something about, say, a T-shirt that had a bit of bang and a naked lady in the moonlight like you're wearing now, so
that's
something
right,
like that.
But in a posh font.
Yes, in a very posh font.
But, yeah, so we're on Twitter as Scrivener's Fancy, and I've noticed that, do you get Twitter hate if you put some comment or joke up there?
Yeah, I get hate.
You've got one person or a couple of people in particular that gets it. You love it. It's good fun reading them.
It comes with the territory, I think. You know, you got to expect some hate on some twat.
Has someone had a go at you, Tone?
Well, it's the Susan Boyle fan club. Whenever I put something about Susan Boyle, within 30 seconds, they're just descending on me. I put up this as a tweet. I put, this is fairly harmless, I thought. Susan Boyle installs panic alarm after intruders break into her house. Potential intruders respond, it's just good to know that it's there. within 30 seconds, they were just all over me.
What do they write?
Oh, just leave her alone.
What are you doing, Martin?
She's massively talented. Have you ever sung a song on the telly? And I'm going, yes, I have. 1992.
They must have the same watchdogs as Scientology. Because Scientology, if you say anything bad, they're on you in a second. They've got people watching, listening for everything that's said about them.
Tone, could we get you to tweet something now, maybe about Scientology, to see how it goes?
No, let's tweet something about Susan Boyle's fan club.
I put something up about Scientology. I said, because who was it? John Travolta had flown Scientology ministers into Haiti.
Yep.
And I put, earthquake victims spend afternoon filling out personality questionnaires. I didn't get any.
And giving their donations back.
I didn't even know anything. Oh, hang on, you've brought it up.
I've got it up on Twitter now.
That's what I do. Yeah, those are popular. Here's a way to get rid of followers. Every day put up a fact from Rhett Hutchins's biography of his brother, Total Excess. And I've been doing that for 2 months. Every day I just put up a new fact from Rhett's book.
So is anyone still following you, Tone?
Every time you do it, just goes down. It's just
ding, 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 ding. We had Ross Noble in the other day and he said he's addicted to seeing if his tweet followers have gone up. You're addicted to seeing if they've gone down.
Well, that's it. It can go up 150 and then you just lose one.
One at a time.
What did I do?
I must have spelt something wrong.
What did I say?
Oh, you get quite Tony, stick around. We'll take a quick break. Yes. And I hear you want to talk about Back to the Future, which gets me excited.
Oh, here we go.
Ryan will love.
Great. Special one.
Ryan, Monty and Whipper.
This Sunday is, of course, Valentine's Day. So tomorrow, we're going lift dating. One girl, three guys, set up in a lift. We're going to have a table and chairs. And the date goes up in the lift and then comes back down. So you've got to do your work pretty quickly to
impress.
You
into Valentine's Day tomorrow?
I'm writing that down now.
What have you got planned?
I'm in a lift, I think, just for a while. How many floors is this?
All the way to the top and back down.
Here at Nova, there's only like two stories.
Nah, we're doing it in a tall building.
No one got anywhere.
You're going to get about a minute. You've got to impress.
Yeah, it's going to be
impress Pash out.
Now, I'm excited, Tony. Tell me what's happening with Back to the Future, because it's my favourite film, as you know.
People have been tweeting me via Scrivener's Fancy on Twitter there about the creepy dick-pointing kid.
What?
In Back to the Future 3. I know it sounds unsavoury and disturbing, but there it is. Go to YouTube, type in these words, creepy kid from Back to the Future 3.
What's he doing?
You tell us what scene it is?
It's a scene where it's on the train because it's the Wild West.
Yep.
And the doctor, what's his name?
Doc Brown.
Doc Brown is talking to Michael J. Fox.
Yes.
And the camera's sort of tracking in towards them and the two kids are standing on the train.
Jules and Verne.
That's right. And one of the kids, as the camera's tracking forward, just gets his hand and is doing this. He's going, come over this way, sort of telling the camera, come towards me. And then he just goes the point.
He just
does
points
he?
At his...
On the old fella.
Oh,
he's just tapping away at it. It's very visual, obviously, but Ryan's brought it up.
We'll put this up on our website so you can all just go to noverfm.com.au.
Well, there's no way they can't have spotted that when they're editing the film.
Is it very clear, Ryan?
Well, I'm still waiting for it to get here. Here we go. This is terrible radio, but good for me.
I love hidden stuff in movies.
These are the best parts in movies.
Here we go. Look, it's happening.
Well, no one can see it.
It's weird and disturbing.
It's almost like he's a director and asking the camera to come in closer.
They're the best parts in the film. I remember as a kid growing up, the Teen Wolf was on, and right at the end where they roll the credits.
Oh, the guy with his pants undone.
He's got his pants undone and he's trying to do them up, but he's trying to hide them. But he's supposed to be excited at the end of the basketball game.
And if you want to go way back to olden days, North by Northwest... Hitchcock film. There's a the gun's just about to be, or someone's about to produce a gun. And a kid in the background puts his fingers in his ear because it's obviously the second or third take.
Yeah. Fantastic,
brilliant.
And Gary Shanley.
Now look, Ryan and I really bonded early on
over nerdy stuff
in the old days over an 80s sitcom called It's Gary Shandling Show.
Can I just tell you a quick story? Actually, with Tony, this is when I was on your old show, Get This, and I came in and you mentioned the show to me, and I said, I'd love to see that. Mm. The next time I came on the show, Tony has with him plastic bags full of VHSs of the entire series of It's Gary Shandling Show.
The great collection.
That he taped off Channel 9 at like 3 a.m. in the morning.
So you have to set up because it was never, there'd be so many advertorials, you'd never know whether it was going to start. So just be waiting up.
You couldn't
hear the theme music. But Shandling is coming back in Iron Man 2. So Shandling Mania is about to happen. So if you get on the internet, again, someone sent me this via the Twitter, the Gary Shandling movie poster project. Which is create your own movie poster and just squeeze Gary Shandling into it. Someone's done the Never Shandling story. Someone's done the Shand that rocks the cradle. Someone's done Fair and Shandling in Las Vegas. Shandler's List, obviously, has been done. The Shandling, simply. But some of them are quite poor, like Little House on the Gary Shandling. To me, that's not trying.
Yeah.
Shandling in the Rain. That's a good one.
That's not bad at all.
And the most obscure one that I like is Dana Carvey in Shandatunity Knox.
Oh, wow.
Which is
a stretch.
That's a real stretch. That's too much. So contribute your own one.
That's great. Tony, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks, guys.
Really appreciate it. And drop by again soon.
Thank you.
Good on you. Here's-